Hesed Meruba Part 2. I actually wanted to go back and just add a couple of notes from last week, additional things that I noticed in preparing for this week. Number one was when we talk about Hesed Meruba versus Hesed Muat, and we said the poskim tend to not be concerned for Hesed Muat, small loss only for Hesed Meruba. So the Darchei Hora'a sought to prove this. Rav Elishberg, who I must admit I had not used Darchei Hora'a at all before preparing this year, but he's been invaluable. If you take a look at Source Aleph, he brings what he believes is a strong proof that we are makbid only for Hefsid Meruba, not Hefsid Muad, not small loss. If you take a look at Source Aleph, he says, "V'arayesh lanu raya mefureshes de'ein hachiv ala beizin lidog rak litovas hefsid mamon meruba v'lo hefsid mamon muad." He says, "I can prove to you that there's only an obligation for beizin to worry about meruba, not what mishvuos yiralafim edbeiz." Para nifdeis hakol psul shabab. He's talking about the para duma, and he says that for any disqualification, it can then be redeemed. Mesa, and if it dies, tipada, it can be redeemed. Why? Mishum lev based in masnalayan, because based in makes a condition that it will be redeemable in such circumstances. So there, the Gemara asks to Brachin on Amar Mesa tipada v'chipodenes hakashim lahachil aklavim. How can you do that? Ordinarily, the rule is that you're not allowed to redeem a carbon in order to make it dog food. So here, the paraluma dies. What other use is there for this carcass of this animal? Why should you be allowed to redeem it? So Amar Mesharshia Mishum Ora. Mesharshia says, you're right. Nonetheless, Beis Din made the Tanai here that you can do it in order to be able to benefit from the hide. So the Gemara says, V'chikimu Beis Din Umasnu Adaita De Ora. They're going to make a Tanai just for the sake of the hide. And Rashi, their comment, Birch Rashi Mishum Hatzala Purta Didmei Ora, really, you haven't saved all that much value just by getting the hide of the animal. I don't know what the price of leather was in those days. But the Gemara's answer there is Umishani in, yes, they'll make it tonight for that, Kede Amri Inshi Mi Gamle Una. Like people say, from a camel, an ear. Which people say all the time. I added in the brackets what that means. It means that even an ear from a camel is considered to be important. If you lose the entire camel, but at least you gain the ear, that matters. So the Darchei Hora says, "Hawei dechol halimud eino rak mishum amri inshi." The Gemara, if we really believed that Hefsid Muad, you have to be makbid for it, then you would have said it's because they were chas on Mamun Shei Yisrael, that they did this because they wanted to protect people's property. The fact that they didn't, but instead they did it because there's an adage, you know, that people say, is evidence that we say, that we don't say Hatara chas on Mamun Shei Yisrael when you're dealing with Hefsid Muad.
What's as far for this? Just because people say camels, you're
meaning that people...
What's the principle based on to allow it?
Well, the principle that allows it is the Tanai Beis Din. In other words, Beis Din says this is a condition of our Hakdasha.
Oh, they're saying they make it Tanai because people view it as important.
Exactly. So that was one point from him. Second point from the Darchei Hora was when we talked about where Hatara Chasam Amonim Shal Yisrael comes from, and we had the two sources, the Menachos and the Negaim source. So we had said, I'm looking at it in my own notes just to find where I had this. I'm trying to figure out where the piece was that Idavka wanted to bring. Yeah. Right. Okay, this was the next piece that I wanted to bring from him. The Darchei Hora, remember that last time at the end, or towards the end, we wanted to know, so which source do we follow? Do we follow Negoim, Ufino es Habayis, or do we follow Menachos about the Lechem Hapanim? So we gave the view of the Maharam Bach, who said that it was about Tzar Balechayim, right? And Adam brought this morning the sefer from which he had shown that it was a d'oraisa. So I, and now the references I want to take a look at. But that's number one. Then number two, we have the note of Yehuda's response that it's about the property of the tzibor, the community, when you're dealing with vishkisa seidav es bihiram, and that's what Menachos is about. And so we have a distinction between the two sources. One is private, ufinu es habayis, and one is public, that Rav Baruch had added on the note that that in the case of ufinu es habayis, there's no cost to us. Whereas in the case of vishkisa seidav es bihiram, Hashem does a miracle to provide the water. So the Darchei Hora actually argues that there's no machlokas between the sources. And I thought this was a really interesting take. It's in source base. He says, V'hanira, Dikvar amadnu al haichiluka da'ani b'davar chashuv nechshav ka'asher behefsed meruba. V'lo matzinu makor lazeh. He says, there is a distinction that people like to make, to say that when you're dealing with a pauper, so any small loss is for him a big loss. It's the equivalent of a big loss for an usher. And he says, I don't have a source for making such a distinction. In other words, whenever we talk about hefsed meruba, we just say there's hefsed meruba and there's hefsed muad. And we don't say it depends on the person, but there is a distinction that people like to make. The Bach also tried to find this. Ulufiza misboer. But he says, based on what he is now saying here, it can be explained. He says, Rashi, when he comments in Chulin and he brings you the source for Hatarach Chas Hamalonim Shal Yisrael and says, your source is Negayim, where we clean out the house. And he makes sure to quote the end of the Medrash on this. Remember, if you recall from the end of that Medrash there, it said Hashem cares so much about the property of Tzarei Ayin, of people who are stingy, how much more so he cares about the property of Tzadikim. Okay, that's the end of the quote in Taras Kohanim. So he says, Ubiram harashal, shenige batim einam boim ela al sarei ayin, kidiisa b'medrash, uba shalo abayis, misha abayis shalov, lo itim acherim yavo ala kohen. He says, the Medrash says that nige batim occur for somebody who is stingy with his property. And he quotes the Medrash here, where we're told the one who owns the house has to come to the Kohen, so the one who kept the house for himself, the one who would not share his home with anybody else, is the one who comes to the Kohen. So Rashi quotes that line in explaining HaTorah Chasa. So he says, "Udvar tzarech yin gadol, delamli lahavi b'shem ha-medrash, harei gemar mafurishu be'erchen tezayin." So he says, I don't understand why you bring it from the Medrash. Why don't you bring it from the Gemara in Erchen Tezayin, where they talk about which averos lead to negoim, to tzaras. But he says, "Ulefiza asi shapir." But he says, no, this actually works very well, the fact that Rashi brings it in Chulin. Why? The high quality of fina misugi de menachos, da achorach, da tarachasa, lo amrinan rak behefsid meruba, velo behefsid muat. He says it's from menachos that we learn that the Torah cares about hefsid meruba and not hefsid muat, right? Like we saw last week. Hello? Right? Last week, when we said menachos talk about the property, the animals, and so on, that's hefsid meruba. As opposed to Negoyim, which said even the pottery out of the house, that's Hefsed Muad. So Menachos is the one that teaches me to distinguish between the two. V'i de mikra de Negoyim, de alfinan data rachasa, afilo apachin katanim, ze'eno. But if you're dealing with Negoyim, and the Torah is concerned even on the small jugs that he has in the house, it's not so. So he says, watch this. The Hasam Bitsare Ayin. He says, don't make this mistake of thinking that we're going to distinguish between Menachos teaching me only Hefsed Meruba and Negoyim teaching me even Hefsed Muad. He says, no. Why? The Hasam Bitsare Ayin. Because what you see from that line that Rashi quotes you from the Medrash is that Negoyim happen to people who are stingy. If you're dealing with somebody who's very stingy, so that person feels like a hefsed muad is actually a hefsed meruba. Psychologically for him, he views it as hefsed meruba. Right? Imagine someone comes to the posek and says to him, I don't want to lose my $5 plastic thing. Please find some way that this is going to be moved. And the posek looks at him and he says, that's not hefsed meruba, that's hefsed muad. But this is a person who will never spend a dime on anything. So to him, it's hefsed meruba. Al kena tarachasa gam al mamon shalom hamuat, and that's why in Negayim, The Torah is concerned even about the little pottery jugs that are in the house. I think I made a mistake when I did the OCR on that. The OCR on Dachei Hora is very poor. But he says, he says, realistically, we are not going to evaluate. When someone comes to you for a psak, you're not going to sit there and distinguish and say, is the person a tsar ayin or not? He says, you're not going to, as a posek, someone's going to come to you with a question. You're not going to say, well, this person hasn't bought new clothing in 20 years. Obviously, they are frugal, so for them, this is hafsid muat. I mean, this is hafsid meruba. That's a very hard thing to do. Aval ani, but in terms of someone who is needy, darach chashuv, etzlo nechshav kesed meruba, etzlo ashir. We will indeed say that that which is hafsid muat for others is hafsid meruba when it comes to him. So Darachei Ra's point is to say that the definition of hefsed meruba is subjective, which is something that we're going to come back to, I hope, later on. That's a very, very important point. But I brought it here only because it's another resolution for Menachos versus Negayim. His argument is that there is no difference between Menachos. Last time we wanted to show there are differences, because why do I need two different sources? But he's actually arguing there's no difference between the two in terms of meruba versus muat, because Menachos was only meruba, and Negayim is muat to a person who considers it meruba. And what we're learning from this source is that it's dependent upon the individual, that it in fact is subjective. That's the idea that the Derech Hora knows.
But at the end of the day, we don't care about the guy's state. We don't care about psychological state. We only care about it when we can see the guy's poor, but it has nothing to do with his psychological state.
Well, you know, it's funny, because it sounds like, from his wording, it sounds like I would be concerned if I had a good way to evaluate it. If hypothetically there was a way to determine, yeah, this person is clearly someone for whom this is considered meruba, then I think he would be okay with it. I think that's the way to look at it. He also has a tosis in Pesachim Peyalef Amid Beis, which seems to equate Aniyim and Sari Ayin. If you take a look there. The third point that I wanted to bring from the Darchei Hora before we get on to new material is that he makes the point that Hatara Chasa is not only seen in Hefsid Meruba situations. Hatara Chasa is also a driving force for Takaras Chazal. He brings you a couple of examples here. These are fairly well known, but I brought them on the sheet just in case you hadn't had a chance to see them inside. Source Gimel is one. Shmuel dealing with kashrus and people getting rid of their kalim before Pesach because they were used with chametz. So Amar Shmuel lahanu demizavni kandi. Shmuel told the people who were selling kederos, who were selling pots, ashvu zvini akandaichi. Make sure that your prices are going to be fair. Ashvu, like an expression of hashavah, that they should be even. Make sure you don't overcharge people when they're going to have to buy new pots from you. V'ilo, because if you don't, darshin alachuk Rabbi Shimon, I'm going to announce halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, who in fact says that these kederos are mutter after Pesach. You can just hold them off after Pesach, and then it's okay. So the Gemara says, v'lidrish lehu, darshmuk Rabbi Shimon svirolai. Well, if he follows Rabbi Shimon, why didn't he say it anyway? And the answer is, asvei derava, because it was Rav's territory, he wasn't going to do that. But he's saying, I will be willing to go against the Mara de Asra, in the event that you're going to charge people too much for these pots. So he argues, Darchei Hora argues, that what's driving Shmuel is Hatarachas Samamonim Shal Yisrael. Similarly, source Dalit, Shmuel has a run-in with the people selling the Hadassim. And he says, in the event that you don't sell at a fair price, I'm going to tell everybody that Hadassim that are cut off at the top are kosher. And then you'll be stuck. And there's a whole discussion there in Lama Dalit. And then the most famous source is the one here. It's a Mishnah in Source Hay, in Krisus, where the Mishnah says, "Ma'isa she'amdu kinim b'Yerushalayim b'dinar zahav," that you know, for the bird karbanos, we have to bring the two birds. So it cost a dinar, a gold dinar, which was very, very expensive. So Amar Rishim Gamliel, Hamon Azel, Olan Halayla, Ad Sheyiyu B'dinarin. So Rishim Gamliel swears by the Beis HaMikdash. He says, I won't go to sleep tonight until it costs only dinarin, which evidently is less than a dinar zav. So Besof Nichnas the Beis Din Velime. And so he enters the Beis Din and he teaches the following psak: Ha'isha sheyesh aleha hey ledos vados hey zivos vados. A woman who had multiple births or multiple experiences of ziva with tahara in between, mevia korban echad ve'ochelas bisvach and veina shara le'achova. So she can get away with bringing just one carbon and not have to do anything else. V'amdu kinen bayamahu v'rivatayim. And at that point, the market plunged because there was no demand. Right? It's supply and demand. So he killed the demand by passing that you only need to bring one carbon instead of multiple. Right? The most famous case of this is the Tzemach Tzedek, not the second one, the first Tzemach Tzedek, and his psak regarding fish on Erev Shabbos, where he told people that they were not allowed to get fish for Shabbos because the fish merchants were gouging on the prices, and he wanted to drive the price down. So today also, I think we could use that with gefilte fish. Well, those are the price is insane, but. This idea, says the Darchei Orah, is predicated on Hatarachah Samuon of Shal Yisrael. So that's all just finishing up from last week. Today, we begin with a new topic within Hefsed Meruba, which is, so for what categories of halacha are we makil for Hefsed Meruba? So the most simple and straightforward is Shvus to Shvus regarding Shabbos. We have a double Derabbanan. I brought you the classic example in Source Vav from the Shulchan Aruch. You have a gutter, you have a pipe that's supposed to drain water from the roof, but there is grass, there's straw, there's stuff blocking it up and preventing the stream from descending, and the result is the water is spreading out on the roof and leaking into the house. So what do? The problem is a concern for metaking if you fix the gutter. So he says, bless you. So what you do is you crush them with your foot in secret, in private. There's a Maris Ayin consideration as well. But use the back of your foot to just sort of crush whatever's blocking the pipe at the bottom. To came in the metaking, since you are fixing it now in an unusual way, Shenu Osel Viraglov, you're only doing it with your foot. They were not concerned in a case of potential loss. So we tend to assume that this is a shvus de shvus. It's a double derabbanan. Looking at the case now, I'm trying to remember what the second derabbanan is. Perhaps because it's really only like metaking. You're not actually doing a fixing. In other words, you didn't do anything to the gutter itself. You simply removed the blockage. This is supposed to be a shvus de shvus, I recall. Even though here it doesn't look like it. I have to go back and remember why this is a shvus de shvus. Offhand. Yeah. The takin is del raisa. So the question is, why is this?
Is it not
well, that's the thing. I think that may be why. It's not malacha.
What are you fixing? You're fixing something else in order to save the bias, no?
I wrote down that it was shvus to shvus. I don't remember anymore what my reasoning is. I don't think that can be why. Yeah. I don't know. Right. I still think it's just for that, but offhand, I don't remember what the logic was. I mean, there are other cases involved. The Mishnah Berurah Shin Tes Zayin Nun Zayin talks about asking someone who isn't Jewish to retrieve a chicken on Shabbos, so it's Amir al-Akum, and having him do it derabanan. The Mishnah Berurah in Shin Tes Zayin Lamed Gimel talks about asking someone who isn't Jewish to move a fish from one body of water to another because it's going to die and you don't want it to ruin the water that it's currently in. Those are better cases. I'm forgetting on this one. Okay. What about for a regular derabanan? So it seems like it works for a derabanan, but there's a catch. If you take a look at Sur Zion, this is dealing with a case that we talked about a little bit last time as well, the chicken that ran away from the eggs. that you want to put back on Chol HaMoed. So the tour there writes, Hoshiva aleim kodem HaMoed. If you put the chicken on the eggs before Yantif, Ubarcha me aleim, and then it fled, Yachol HaHazira, you're allowed to put it back on. V'hanimili tach gimel yamam l'brich hasa, that assumes that it's within 3 days from when it fled. She'in tarch b'chazar hasa, there won't be a lot of strain in putting it back on. V'yashva aleim gimel yamam kodem shabarcha, shekvar nifsedu habeitzim, right? And it's where it already sat on them for 3 days, right? We had this discussion already last time, that once it's already been on them for 3 days, now they're no longer food, and therefore it'll be destroyed if you don't get the chicken back on. But you only have 3 days from when it flees. After that, putting it back on won't do any good. So he says, "Vizel l'Rav Alfas de Melechas Chol HaMoed mideoraisa, avlo Rabbeinu Tam shumi de Rabbanan afilu yashva aleim gimel yamim mutoch shlosha yamim l'brichasa machzira nosa." But he says that's within the view of Rabbeinu Tam, who says that Melech on Chol HaMoed is a deoraisa. But if I take the view of Rabbeinu Tam that Melech on Chol HaMoed is itself a de Rabbanan, then even for Hefsed Muat, I would be allowed to put it back on. So the way the Beis Yosef explains it there, so just to make sure we're clear on the tour, he says that the Rif follows Rav Huna's view, that Hefsed Meruba will be allowed, even though it's a De'oraisa. So it appears, and that the view of Rabbeinu Tam is like Rabbi Ami, who said that even Hefsed Meruba is okay because we're dealing, even Hefsed Muad is okay because we're dealing with the Derabbanan. So the way the Beis Yosef explains it is indeed that we line up the Hefsed Meruba with the Deoraisa and Hefsed Muad with the Derabbanan. That seems to be the argument. And indeed, the Nachla Shiva in Tshuva Nun Hei brings this idea. He says, following that view that Hefsed Muat works for a Derabanan, so Malacha and Tishabav or of an Avel will then be permitted even just for Hefsed Muat. So that's a very important practical case. You have someone who's an Avel. Right? We assume that Yisra Malacha for an Avel is a Derabanan. So you have someone who is in Avel who says, well, I have to go to work because my business is going to lose money. According to this, even for a Hefsed Muat, it's going to be acceptable. Josh, you look perplexed.
So I'm just saying, so we can make a general rule out of this one case that every case of Jerabanan is going to be Mother Hefsed Muat?
That's what the Nachla Shiva wants to argue. That's what Nachla Shiva wants to argue.
And then why would be most of the makom Hefsed Muat? Shush.
One second. If for Hefsed Muat, even at the Rabbanan. No, he's saying
Hefsed Muat is the Rabbanan.
Yeah. Hefsed Muat, even at the Rabbanan. That's what seems to be said here. I want to come back to the De'oraisa in a minute.
Yeah. Exactly.
But right now, it sounds like we are saying that for a De'rabanan, possibly even Hefsed Muat will be okay. Or it sounds like Hefsed Muat will be okay. The opposing view on this comes from Rav Shimshon ben Tzemach Duran in his Zohar HaRakia. He disagrees, and he says, no, it's only for a Suffolk De'rabanan. If you take a look at Source Ches, keep in mind, he precedes the tour. He's not going to argue directly, but he says, "Umekomo sheish ibud mamon machma sveka derabanan hadavar hu yozer pashut shem chayavim lahakiel besveko lefi sheish lamamashi ismochu bazevatara." He says, "Where there is loss of money because of a doubt on a derabanan, so he says it's obvious that they are obligated to be lenient in the suffik because they have that on which they can depend in the Torah." Right, we dealt with that case, the Gemara in Chulin, where Rav and the Yisr De'oraisa are on one side and Hefsed is on the other side. But the implication was of Yisurin De'rabanan imamruke and lahatir sveko yafahenosin. The implication is, oh, this is a De'oraisa, therefore you can't. But if it was a De'rabanan, you'd be okay. But notice what he said. He didn't say a straight De'rabanan, right? He said, a suffik derabanan. Right? Hello, in source S, he said Safik dera machmas feka derabanan. So therefore, that would seem to argue that it's only a Safik derabanan that we're going to lift, but not a not a vade derabanan. The Reish's Das in the Sefer Das Torah in his second volume, which you can't find on Hebrew books, but you can find it on Otsar, in his intro to Trefos, Namur Lamed He, says that we are broad in our definition of Safek. It includes where there is a machlokes and the minority view is simply the lenient view. We'll count that as enough to permit. So we're fairly broad in that case. But that's the idea, is that indeed only a Safek Dirabanan is going to be lifted for this Hefsid. The Reish's Das? Reish's Das, it's in a work called Das Torah. It's Chelik Beis. In his Hakdama to Trefos, Lamed Hei.
Why do we need to say that the case of Shulchan Aruch is Shvus to Shvus if we're saying that some...
I guess that I had written it down as Shvus to Shvus. Either by the gutter case.
Yeah.
I mean, I had written it down as Shvus
to Shvus. According to the Rebbe Tam, you said that there's no case of Shvus to Shvus if you didn't put the Rabban itself will be made.
Right, although according to Rashbas, only a Safek Derabanan.
Right.
Yeah. This Reish's Das explains that it doesn't work for Vadai because it's Hefker based and that entitles the Rabbanan to make rules that are going to remove your money. It's only a Safek Derabanan that will be lifted. The question then for him is, well, there's a Gemara in Psachim and Vav and the Beis which permits it Derabanan, but that's only, he says, when the Kula is designed into the law. So what we've seen is, number one, for a double derabanan, we're okay. Again, I have to go back to that case of the gutter and figure out why it was a double derabanan. For a straight derabanan, so we may even permit hefsed. We may permit even for hefsed muat. Right, that was what it sounded like from the eggs. And Nachla Shiva took that view. The Rashbats, on the other hand, says only for a Safek de Rabbanan. He doesn't seem to be okay with a Vade de Rabbanan. So I think he's talking about even Hefsed Merubah from his language, no? His language did not distinguish. Sorry?
Yeah.
So it's really two polar opposites. And then the funny thing is, what do we do now with a deoraisa? Right? I would have assumed that Hefsed cannot override a deoraisa. The Sefer Kehilas Yaakov, which is not the same as the Stipler, it's a different, it's an Achron. Kehilas Yaakov is found in a work called Tosfos Derabanan. The Kehilas Yaakov is the author of the Tosfos Derabanan. It's Chelek Hei Kuf Yud Gimel. I printed it out. I've got it if you want to take a look at it. Takes it as a given that Hefsed Merubah only works for a Derabanan. It's not going to work for a Deoraisa. And the Maariv Chiyu says, of course, if you take a look on the sheet, in Source Tess, he's discussing the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin, where we talk about the mouthpiece for the shofar and gold versus silver. He says, V'nirali inyan emes, the kaimalan or achayim tafresh nun vav, he's regarding an esrog, the anso lavra mitzvahs losa say tzarech liten komamanu kadeh shalo yavor. Ulam, l'tzarech kiu mitzvahs asay, eino tzarech liten rak shlish mamono. He says, look, we don't require you to spend more than a third of your assets to fulfill a mitzvahs asay. Right? So therefore, he says, we don't compel you to do a mitzvah. I'm sorry, let me take a step back. First of all, what he says, I didn't quote the entire piece here, but first of all, what he says is, since we say in that Gemara and Chulin regarding the Trefos, that it's Rav and an Isser De'oraisa against Hatarachasa, clearly Hefsed Merubah cannot stand up against the De'oraisa. That's number one. That was really what we saw last week. He says, then you're going to ask me that we talk about Hatarachasa Mamonim Shal Yisrael when you're dealing with the mouthpiece of the shofar, right? Or in Yuma, when you're dealing with the box that's going to hold the Sayer LaZazel and Sayer LaShem cards. or the Gemara in Yuma that talked about the machta they used in the Beis Hamikdash, and there you did invoke Hatara Chasa, even though it's a De'oraisa, right? So he says, yeah, because those are mitzvahs asei. And a mitzvah asei has a limit on your expenditures. As opposed to when you're dealing with a lo sa'aseh, where there is no limit, and therefore, of course, you're supposed to spend more. So what he actually does is he distinguishes between aseh and lo sa'aseh in terms of hefsed, and says, for an aseh, you could apply hefsed. For a lo sa'aseh, you won't apply hefsed.
Who said this? Who was the one who said that hefsed just applies for one derabana?
What do you mean?
Except the
Rashbag
said that
Hasidim
is only
for a Safek
Derabanan.
Yeah.
But before that, you said someone else said just if you have one Derabanan.
That's the Rabbeinu Tam, no?
Rabbeinu Tam's view, well, both of them, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif, are both agreeing that it'll apply to the Derabanan. Their machlokis is about Malacha and Chol HaMoed.
Yeah.
That it will apply for a Derabanan. Yeah. But that it won't apply for a De'oraisa, they all seem to take as a given. The Maritz Chiyus' chiddush is that he distinguishes between Aseh and Losa Aseh.
They just talk about the D'oraisa, though.
Yes. Yeah. The Seich Chemet actually challenges this in Hei Tzadi Aleph, because he says, if that were true, that distinction was between Aseh and Losa Aseh, then why is it regarding the Lechem Hapanim? We had that Gemara Menachos Ayin Vav, where we were told that you're allowed to buy wheat instead of buying flour because of Hesed, right? Hathor Chasam Lonim Shal Yisrael. He says that's a mitzvah Aseh, and he argues that it isn't the difference of one third between buying wheat and buying flour. So he says, if your model is really true, that that you want to connect the idea of spending only up to one third for mitzvah saseh, then you have to answer for the lack of mapanim case. This is a valid point. But generally speaking, we do assume that it doesn't work for a deoraisa. The problem is the Rashba. If you take a look at source Yud, this tshuva of the Rashba, he says, "Tchilas kol davar omar, she'ein omrin kedai hu ploni lismoch alav, bizman sheyesh gadol mimenu b'chachma b'minyan." He says, when you have a machlokes, and there's a minority, not a minority, sorry, there's a makil view and a machmir view, and the machmir is the greater one, b'chachma b'minyan, you can't say, well, yeah, but the other one is kedai to be somech alav. It doesn't work that way. The way halacha works is you follow the greater. Even in a shas hadchak, you're not going to depend on the lesser view. And so too, if it's a machlokes between a lone view and the majority view, unless you're dealing with a shas hadchak hefsed meruba that has hefsed meruba, it's a funny language. We have to come back to his language. But he says, then you could. And he quotes you nida tesamud beis. The va'asa rabbi krabi elazar. Right, we saw that last time. I think I brought that last time. That was about the case of the woman who had been dealing with trefos, not with trefos, with taharos. And you were to say daya shaita. If you were to say to consider her nida retroactively, then all the taharos she did would be ruined. Right, so Rabbi Paskin's like Rabbi Elazar, and there the Gemara says, La'achar shenizgar omar kedai hu Rabbi Elazar lismoch alav b'shas hadchak. After he remembers, we don't know what he remembered, but after he remembered, he said, oh, well, I could depend on Rabbi Elazar b'shas hadchak. V'akshinan, the Gemara there asks, my la'achar shenizgar, what was this after he remembered that you're talking about? What did he remember? Ile ma'la'achar shenizgar de'ein alachak Rabbi Elazar elakarabonan. If you tell me that what he remembered was, oops, the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Elazar, then b'sha'as hadchak, hechi avi kavaseh, why was it okay to follow him in a sha'as hadchak? Ela delo itmar lo ilchasa kamar velo ilchasa kamar. You're right. That machlokes that he was dealing with regarding the nida had never been resolved like Rabbi or Rabbi Elazar. Umay la'achar shenizgar, so what did it mean when it said after he remembered? Dilav yachid palig ale, ela rabim pligi ale. The answer is that he remembered that it was not one versus one, but rather it was one versus a majority. That was the issue. The Omar Kedayu Rabbi Elazar Lismoch Alav Bishas Adchak, and he said, "Okay, if it's Yachid versus Rabbim, I can depend on Rabbi Elazar in Bishas Adchak." That was the his conclusion. V'aminon Hasam Mai Shas Adchak, and there the Gemara asks, "What is Shas Adchak?" And they give two answers. Ika de Amri Shas Batzaras Havoi. One answer is that it was a time of famine. There wasn't a lot of rain, there wasn't a lot of grain, and therefore there was an issue of starvation. That's your Shas Adchak. Ikedamri Afish Ubda Vachashu Rabban Lipseda Taharos. Alternatively, the answer is she had been involved with a lot of Taharos, and the Rabbanim were concerned that the Taharos are going to be destroyed. So therefore there was a Hefsid consideration. So the Rashba says, and you're dealing here with a Raisa issue, not dealing with a Derabanan issue, he says, you're allowed to paskin like a minority versus a majority if it's Shas Adchak, like a Hefsid Meruba.
Is this the same as saying Mamakon Hefsid Lokashi Rabanan?
It's not a Derabanan.
No, I'm saying, is it the same? Because in here there's another sheet, I mean. There's another sheet to rely on.
But it's a minority view versus a majority. Achar Avin Lahatos is Deoraisa.
Can you say it? I mean, if that's Deoraisa, then how can you ever pass? I mean, there are times you pass like Yaakov over Rabbi. I mean, you never find it.
Only if we view him as outweighing, not because of Eshas Adchak. Right? Halachic, a certain Hanu Mechabe Rab or something.
Right.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Rama follows this Rashba.
So I've never seen this in your idea, like you see this in similar cases.
That what?
That we could go by a minority opinion when there's a Hefsid Meruba Shas Adchak.
That you could go with a minority opinion, that's what he's talking about. And the Rama does it in Source Yud Aleph. In Hilchos Dayanim Chafei Beis, he says, "Ein somchen al divrei katan neged divrei gadol mimenu b'chachma uv'minyan." We don't rely on a lesser opposite a greater. Afilu b'shas hadchak, even in shas hadchak, elim kein hayagam kein hefsid meruba, unless it is also hefsid meruba. Notice, by the way, his wording: shas hadchak plus hefsid meruba, not shas hadchak equals hefsid meruba. And so too, if it's an individual against the many, we're going to follow the many as a general rule. So he is willing to go with the lesser view or the yachid if Sha'as Adchak and Hefsid Meruba. In his introduction to the Taras Chatos, he says, in a case of Hefsid Meruba, this is the Rama, if the law is that it's mutter but we're normally strict, then we'll be lenient. And the Das Torah that I quoted before says that means even for a de'oraisa. So the Bach, in his Isser V'Heter, has a long discussion about whether it's the same for Yachid versus Rabim and Katan versus Gadol. From the Rashba, it sounded like specifically Yachid versus Rabim. The Rama is saying it for both. He also discusses the question of whether this applies to Sha'as Hadchak because of Hefsid, or whether you need Sha'as Hadchak plus Hefsid. If you take a look at the Shach, I quoted you here a little piece from the Shach, Pilpul Ban Hagas Hora'os B'Isser V'Heder. You can find it in Yeridaya at the end of Reish Mem Beis. So he writes, Divrei Harav Kshutim. The words of the Rama are simple. V'Rotzalomar De'ein Somchen Olav Afilu Bish'az Hadchak Hecha Delaka Hefse Meruba. It has to be Dechak plus Hefse Meruba. Elim Kain, Hayagam Kain Hefsid Meruba, Ukshayesh Hefsid Meruba, Shari, Dainu Sha'as Adchak. You see that? He says, it seems to me that what he's saying on the Rama and the Rashba is that Hefsid Meruba is going to work as a standalone. Sha'as Adchak will not work as a standalone, but Hefsid Meruba will. I could have some other Sha'as Adchak. For example, I have a whole bunch of guests showing up, and I don't have enough food for them. So it's going to be an embarrassing thing. The guests are showing up, and there's no food. That's not Hefsid Meruba. Hefsid Meruba is financial. Sha'asat chag. Sorry. That's not the same thing as hefsed merubah. Shnas batzores, a time of famine, when you say, well, we don't have stuff for people, that's not hefsed merubah. That's sha'asat chag. Right? Hefsed merubah is she dealt with taharos, and now you're going to call them all tame. Yeah, shnas batzores can generate hefsed merubah, of course. Right? Shnas batzores can generate hefsed merubah by driving up the price of things. But that's the...
Is the Shah contradicting himself here? Or he's just
what do you mean?
Opinion?
No, he's saying Shah's Hadchak alone is nothing. It needs to be Hefse Meruba.
That is, if Shish Hefse Meruba, Shari Dahainu Shah's Hadchak.
Oh, you mean the fact that he wrote Dahainu? Yeah, the Dahainu is funny. I hear that. Unless his point is, that's what I call Shah's Hadchak plus Hefse Meruba, because Hefse Meruba is Shah's Hadchak. You're right. There would be, it would have seemed to word this more simply by just saying...
Versus saying in both and seeing if you have the left fish to try to hide your shas and chak, you just think that's good enough alone.
Yeah. I hear. His wording is a little bit funny. The question still is, now how do I deal with this? In other words, I had understood, like from the Gemara in Chulin Memtes, that Rav versus an Isser Del Raisa, I'm sorry, Rav and an Isser Del Raisa against Hatara Hasa, the Del Raisa wins. Right? That was the way I understood it. I wasn't even willing to permit a derabanan without it being a suffic derabanan. But here I have precedent from the Rashba, the Rama, and now the Shach is paskining it, that it sounds like it works on a del Raisa. So the Shach himself writes that, yeah, it's built into the Torah system of Psak. It's not a rabbinic leniency. That's the Shach himself right here. It's a heimamru behemamru. But then what do I do with the Gemara in Chulin about Rav v'Yisr Del Raisa? So here we turn to the Darche Hora, who says, source Yud Gimel, Mizeh ein shum hochacha. There's no proof from there. The Yesh Lomar Delishna Dehatara Chasam Amonim Shal Yisrael Hu Afilu Behefzid Muad. He says, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you that Hatara Chasam Amonim Shal Yisrael applies even in a case of Hefzid Muad. Valkain Azlinan Behefzid Muad Basar HaMachmir Be'Yisr Del Raisa. And therefore, we're going to be strict on a Hefzid Mu'at case dealing with a De'o Raisa. Avol be'Hefzid Meruba Shabbat Resamchina Nakata Neged Godol. V'hani Treyuvdi Hefzid Mu'at Havu. He says, when the Torah uses the term Atara Chasam Amonim, when the Gemara uses the term Atara Chasam Amonim Shal Yisrael, it may well be talking about a Hefzid Mu'at situation. And in that Gemara in Chulin, when we dealt with the bui de smichi, right, the bubbles in the lung that were near each other, that was a hefsed muad case, and that's why they said Rav v'Yisr Del Raisa, and you want to say Atara Chasa, you can't do that. However, where it's hefsed meruba, it will indeed work for a Del Raisa. Now, that's the truth is that it doesn't seem like that's his conclusion. He has a very long discussion there in Tezayin, and his conclusion is that Hefse Meruba only works for Durabana. And I think that's how we paskin. I know, despite the fact that you see this Rashba, and you see this Rama, and you see this Shach, my understanding is still that Hefse Meruba only works for Durabana. It's only a question of then how do I understand them? That's my that's my takeaway. So again, we saw for a double derabanan for a shvus dishvus, it's for sure sufficient. For a derabanan, hefsed meruba works, and even hefsed muat might work. But you have the Rashbaz who seems to think no, only for a suffik derabanan. Not for a vaday, and then you have this del raisa idea, which the tour rejected, right, regarding malach on chol hamoed, and which the Maritz Chius rejects based on that gemara in Chulin. But you do have this Rashba Rama Shach piece that does seem to offer something. Which brings us to the question that started this whole discussion of so how do you define Hefsed Meruba? So there are particular cases that get identified as Hefsed Meruba in the course of the Piskei Halakha, so the Shvus Yaakov in Bayes, Samach Dalit says that a large animal may be assumed to be Hefse Meruba. Or the Or Litzion, Gimel, Ha'aros, Tezvav, V'dine Leil HaSeder, says a crate of wine is always going to be Hefse Meruba. They give you these objective statements that, frankly, to me, are not entirely clear. The Nachla Shiva is the one who says there is an objective way to gauge Hefse Meruba. This is Hefse Meruba, and less than this is not. He quotes the Issa V'Heter, Beis Aleph, although I think it's actually Beis Beis, that permits... Did I bring it on here for you? Yeah, I did. It's Yudalit. Take a look at source Yudalit. Because of Behizer Behetzer, Be'inyan Basar Sheshaha below Hadacha Umalicha Filu Arbava Chamisha Yamim. Behizer Behetzer is talking about meat that went 4 or 5 days without being soaked, without being salted. So he says, Mutter Litzlosa, you would be allowed to roast it to get out the blood, Ulevashla, and then to cook it, Afilu Behetzer Muat, even if it's just a small loss. Could go in Kavich Altarnagoles Viyona, such as the liver of a chicken or of a dove. That's what he quotes from the Issa V'Heter. So he says, "Avo pishlo nahagina and beikar adin kedas Issa V'Heter lahakol behefsed mua levashal achar tzliya." He says, "You should know, we don't paskin that way for hefsed muat. Mikol makom, but shamina mina dehefsed muat who kaveshal tanagolis v'shalyona." Right. What we do learn from here is that a chicken liver is hefsed muat. Shmamina the chomashu yoser mizeh hefsed meruba. So anything more than that is hefsed meruba. Anything more than a chicken liver is hefsed meruba. That's a remarkable statement. So he knows that. And he continues to say, Umisha libo mahaseis bozeh, if someone for some reason is hesitant about this, verotza lios mena machmirin, and someone wants to be strict, nirali komashu hefsed hakeren kitsas yoser mishtus have hefsed meruba beli safek. He says, I'll tell you what, go based on not the value of the item, but the percentage that would be lost. If 1/6 of the item would be lost, then that's hefsed meruba. Why? Shari b'chas mishtus have a mechila, because the general rule is that you forgive less than 1/6, right, in the laws of onah. If a person charges me up to 1/6 more of the price, I'm entitled, of what's the going rate, I'm entitled to go back to him and ask for a refund of the excess. But we assume that the sale is a valid sale, and I'm mochel, I forgive it. Shma mina she'ein makpid, and I'll have said kazeh shupachos mishtus hakaren. So we see that they're not makpid.
What are the 1/6 like between this? Regular and up to 1/6? Or over 1/6 is completely...
Correct. Well, we're going to have to be more precise in a moment. It's a good point. Hold on with that thought. V'lo yechashe lehef said klal, afil lehef said muat, mishun lo kapti inchi b'achi. He says up to 1/6 will be considered not even a small loss, because people aren't makbid for it. Dim locate, because otherwise, Hari Beis Din is kakin ledin shava pruta. V'kan u'machila. He says, look, Beis Din takes care of litigation in cases involving a pruta or more. And yet here we say you're mochel. The answer is this isn't called a loss in the first place. Otherwise, Beis Din would handle it. U'bishtus, at 1/6, he says, kana u'mach zero na. Sorry. Less than 1/6, you're mochel, you forgive. At 1/6, the deal is valid, and he just has to refund the difference. Shmamina, shmashu pachos mishtus ashtus have hefsed muat. So up to 1/6 is small. So he writes, you have to watch his words. He says that that indicates that from 1/6 to 1/6 is hefsed muat. His wording is very odd. The Rosh Ephraim is a commentary on the pre-tavua. In Lamed Tes Kuf Samach Gimel, he says that's not what the Nachla Shiva means here. What he means is, at shtus, it's hefsed muat. At 1/6, it's hefsed muat. Up to 1/6, is nothing. 1/6 itself is hefsed muat. Ve'im kein, kol mashu yeser al shtus, havi hefsed meruba. So anything over 1/6 is hefsed meruba. Ve'im kein, b'chol iser kanal. So in every case, like what we talked about here, she'hefsed u'ktsas yoser mishtus hakeren, where the loss is more, a little more than 1/6, havi hefsed meruba. And he says, I got that from the Trumas Hadesh and Simon Shin Lamed Vav. The Trumas Hadesh and Shin Lamed Vav uses a standard of 1/6 for a different point. We have a principle where you thought you were purchasing something and the seller says, no, I was selling you something else. that Hadamim Modiin. Sometimes you can tell based on the amount of money that was paid. It's clear this is what he thought he was getting. He wouldn't have paid that much for the lesser amount. And the question is, so what's the standard for Hadamim Modiin? And the Trumas Hadeshin in Shin Lamed Vav says 1/6. If it's within 1/6 of that price, it's still what we would assume for that price. So the so he says, if you want to be strict, then it's 1/6 of the item's value. Like the, so that's the Nachla Shiva's take.
You don't always have a karen when it comes to that. Oh, now you have a karen. Here you don't always have a karen. Meaning selling Oscar, selling Mother. What's the sixth of what?
The what would you say? Give me a case.
You mean what animals? This animal's either kosher or it's Oscar.
Right. So it's a total loss.
So six, so meaning...
But it's not, I'm sorry, no, in your case it's not a total loss, because I can sell it to someone who isn't Jewish.
So what's it, a sixth then? Sixth of how much I would have...
Of what I would have gotten if it would have been rendered kosher.
Is there a difference of opinion about this? Because I just saw the kitchen recently that said up to 1/6, you can ask for the refund on the difference. You can't get the whole thing refunded, you can ask for a difference, and then over 1/6, it's a mekar tos, gamre, and...
Over is for sure Mekathas the guy.
But at 1/6.
At 1/6, correct.
But even up to 1/6, I heard that you could ask to go back to your demand that the difference of your money back. It's not a Mekathas, but you can get your money back for that difference. But there are things that have some muon, and there's no, I mean, that we're not worried about it, and we just kind of forget about it. But I heard that, I mean, line in here, I just read recently, the concern that you can actually go back there and demand your
Yeah, and I had thought that that was what it was. That was what I first said. But then I read what he said here in the Nachla Shiva, and the truth is I'm uncertain. One of the big downsides of having gotten the shiur done very early in the week is that I haven't looked at this in 4 days. So it's my head's in it is in other things already. But it's easy to go and take a look. I mean, it's a straight Shulchan Aruch. The Das Torah, in his Reishis Das that I mentioned before, in his introduction to Trefos Lamed Zayin, he says there's actually a typo in the Nachla Shiva. Because he says, what are you drawing here from Onah? And we're going to see more of the objection on Onah in a moment. But he actually says that it should be Lamed Vav, not Shin Lamed Vav. In which the Trumas Hadeshin distinguishes between someone who's wealthy and someone who's indigent vis-a-vis Shechianu, and what kind of expenditure warrants a Shechianu. But in general, others object to the Nachla Shiva on a couple of grounds. The Rosh Ephraim objects, and I retyped it for you here in Tezvav. He says, "V'hine rayasu midin onah eino muchrach the derech mekach umemka sha'ani." He says, "What are you proving from onah for? Commerce is a whole different ballgame." And he quotes you the famous Rosh in Bava Metzia, who says that in commerce, the reason why you forgive is because it's impossible to set a particular price and know that that's the right price. It's very hard to be precise. That's true over there, but here you're talking about the loss that the person is willing to accommodate. Don't bring me proofs from mekach umemka. That's his argument. The Ateret Paz, the Pichas Zevichi, in Source Tezayin, has a different argument, which others bring as well. I saw it in earlier sources too, that say that, are you really going to tell me that 100 out of 600, oh, that's a Hefsed Merubah, or 101 if you want to go over 1/6, right, is Hefsed Merubah, but 99 out of 600 is not a Hefsed Merubah? Now, the truth is we do that with Shiurim all the time. But he's very uncomfortable, and others are very uncomfortable. So some make the contention, and trying to rush to finish this by 11:30. We'll see if we get it. But if not, I'll do the last point next week. But others contend that it's actually based on percentage of loss, like the Machmir position in the Nachla Shiva. They'll take that over his more lenient position of the chicken liver. And the Rosh Ephraim actually tries to bring this from another source in the Trumas Hadeshin. If you take a look at Source Yedzayin, and this goes back to Josh's question about how we evaluate the 1/6, he says the Trumas Hadeshin is dealing with a case of selling off one's wine. The story there, if I remember correctly, was that wine was poured from one container into another one, and the other one is held by the person who isn't Jewish. And the question is, does that now go back into the container from which you were pouring to contaminate the entire mixture? I think that if I remember correctly, that was his discussion. So he says, Nira lahochiach, the benidon didon, afilu chavis gidola chashin hefsimuat. He says, in our case, it appears that we should argue that even a large barrel will be called hefsid muat. Why? Because you could sell it to someone who isn't Jewish, kemoshu regilus, as is normally done. Granted that, you'll have to drop a little bit in the price. So we have there this idea of hefsid muat or hefsid meruba being gauged based on the percentage of loss. Nonetheless, these objections to the standard of the Nachla Shiva still fit. These are all Derech Mekech Umemkar, or that it seems like a very odd number for us to be throwing on these things. So the upshot of that is that most actually paskin that it depends on the circumstances of the person involved. It does not depend on some objective thing or the percentage of the value of the item. All of the achronim pile on the Nachla Shiva. The pre tavua lamites kuf lamid vav, the ateret paz that I mentioned. They all say it's subjective based on time, place, wealth of the individual. The prima gadim in his hagdamada yoredeya and klalim baharos iser zayin. I brought you just a very, very short excerpt in Yudches. Gama kolafi raos ene hamore. It's based on what you see. I brought you also a range of poskim who say this in source Yudches. You can take a look there. And that Pischei Tshuva that I quoted in the middle of it, he quotes a whole bunch of others who say that it's really all subjective. The contemporary Sephardic poskim, the Kafachayim, the Orlitzion, the Abia Omer, all say it depends on the person who is involved. I brought you them in there. Among contemporary Ashkenazim as well, I saw the Orchos Shabbos quoted as saying that it depends on the person, but it was an online article. I didn't see it in the Orchos Shabbos. Rav Zilberstein in source Chaf says there's a wide range of cases where we are willing to say Hefsed Meruba. It's very broad. And the upshot of his statement is that the definition of Hefsed has to be subjective. It's whatever causes you pain, which brings to mind that Sar Ayin point earlier about the person who's just naturally frugal. He says, and this I quoted to Baruch in last week's shiur, if you take a look in source Chaf, he says, V'dugma l'davar, an example, makel kavisa, a clothesline, right, a clothes rod, shenofel me'akoma hashniyah, falls from the second floor of the building, ein balabayis mechapes oso, mashiro berachov, you don't go down to the street to go find it, you leave it in the street. That's what he says. The mashenkein tarnagola shabarchalo me'abayis, as opposed to the chicken that ran away. Hagam sheshaveh kama shkalim. You know what? It's worth a few shkalim. It's not worth a whole lot. B'chol zos yarutz achrel achzira. You're still going to run after it to get it. Lo yarshala lios tarnagola shemarda. You're not going to let it become a wild chicken. Which apparently is the name for a bria. You won't let it be a wild chicken. Vave hefsit. Re'akov avinu seeking his nashav or pachan ketanim. He says it's not only about the item; it's also about the person. That's his argument. Why would I be subjective? So I go back to the Derech Hora that we saw above, right? About the Tzarei Ayin for the Negaim. The Das Torah in Reish's Das Intro to Trefos Lamed Zayin says it makes sense to go based on the wealth of the party because he says the Rama's introduction to Taras Chatas, the Rama writes that the whole Hefsed Meruba Kula is really in cases where that's the halacha anyway and we're just going to be machmir. So he says, we certainly could based on the person. So the upshot, going back to the question I started this whole thing about Hefsed Meruba, is that the Nachla Shiva presents an objective standard. He also presents a standard based on the percentage of loss of the item, and then in addition to that, everybody else seems to say that it's. Everybody else seems to say that it's based on the circumstances of the person involved and the degree of pain that they're going to feel, and that's how you gauge Hefsed Meruba. Clear?
One question on the end. How do we square the Ramban, Kosh, and Mishpat that we said
Chafei Beis.
So it's a Dereisa with the intro to Torah's Kafos.
That he's talking about Dereisas. In other words, he still says the whole Kula is only going to be. In fact, that may
and
be.
It's not such a Chiddush in their own.
Exactly. That may be the answer.
Right.
That might be why the Marva is not such a Chiddush, because he's only saying it where we believe that this is the halacha anyway. He's not saying it in general for Dereisas.
Right.
Right. That could end up explaining the Rama. All right. Good. Next week, God willing, we'll deal with particular applications of Hefsa Merubah. Questions of, do I gauge by each item or collectively? What happens if there are partners who own something collectively so it's not a Hefsa Merubah for each one? Multiple people coming with a unique Shaila, permitting a vendor to sell his product at a Hefsa Merubah even though it's not Hefsa Merubah for the individual consumer. I'm up to deal with a whole range of cases next week, and it may well take a fourth week for those as well.